Good morning to you all, and a warm welcome, whether you are here in the church, watching in your own home on the live streaming, or later on one of the social media platforms. Teas and coffees will be served in the hall after the service, and there will be a prayer meeting tonight at 7 p.m. on Zoom. On Tuesday, the Guild meets in the church hall at 2 o'clock, and Sheila warns me to tell you not to have too big a lunch because there are puddings in the afternoon. On Wednesday, there's prayer time at 1 o'clock, and at 1:30 is the funeral service for Fiona Fett. Then at 7 p.m. is midweek chat on Zoom. Next Sunday's service at 11 o'clock will be led by Brida, and later that day, Brida and Francie leave for a month's holiday in South Africa. This is their first holiday since they came to Scotland in December 2019, and we are glad that they are now able to take this well-earned break to catch up with their family and friends, and we wish them every blessing. During Brida's absence, Grant Cumming and the Reverend David White will conduct our services, including the Easter week services on Maundy Thursday and Good Friday. Pastoral care will be provided by the Reverend Morris Smith. The Kirk Session decided at its meeting last week to donate a total of £5,000 on behalf of the congregation to Ukraine. £2,500 will go to the Disaster Emergency Committee Ukraine Appeal via Christian Aid, and a further £2,500 via the Church of Scotland to our partner Reformed Church in Hungary Aid, RCHA. It has access to the Reformed Church in Ukraine, who are using their buildings to support the people moving from east to west as they seek safety and sanctuary. They also are working in the border areas of Hungary, Slovakia, and Romania, using the Reformed Church contacts and buildings there. In making these donations, we are using money from Christian Aid fundraising and the thrift shop income, and not from members' regular giving. Individuals may, of course, wish to make their own donations online, and there will also be a retiring collection for Ukraine after next Sunday's service. If you wish to gift aid your donation, slips will be available to enable this. And John Third was handing out these envelopes this morning as you came in. If you didn't get one but would like one, you can get one after the service. And it means that you can take the form home and fill it in and bring it back completed and ready to put onto the plate next Sunday. And lastly, next Saturday night, there is a quiz night in and for Urquhart Parish Hall. Doors will be open at 7 o'clock for a 7:30 start. There will be a raffle, and tea and coffee and home bakes will be provided at half time. The cost is £3.50 per person. Thank you.
Thank you, Meg. Good morning, friends. On the second Sunday of Lent, we are again gathered at the foot of the cross to once again be amazed at the compassion and the grace of God. To help us to enter into that space, let us sing CH 4382, O sacred head, sore wounded. Thank you. Although we live in dark times, still in a pandemic that has been raging for 2 years now, and now with this horrifying war, the children of God know more than that. We know more than what we see on the news and what we read in the newspapers. While the children of God were in exile in Babylon, the prophet Isaiah spoke to them in the words that will be read to us later on in our passage for this morning. The passage starts with a joyful call to worship directed at the whole of creation because it knows about the compassion of God for all those who are afflicted. And it goes like this: shout for joy, you heavens, rejoice, you earth, burst into song, you mountains, for the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones. Let us join the heavens and the earth, the mountains, in praise for God's compassion as we sing, "In the cross of Christ I glory."
Last week when we prayed, we praised God for his love, which cannot be extinguished, whatever it faces, and whatever may conspire against it. When the innocent suffer, when evils prosper, when hatred seems to hold way. And we prayed that God would help us keep on believing that good will finally win through. In the press, we hear and see everything that is terrifying going on in Ukraine. And in the Christian press this week, we hear that God is giving daily miracles that lift people's spirits in these places and saves lives. We hear of bombs dropping out of the sky and not exploding. Story of tanks running out of fuel that had fuel. Russian soldiers giving themselves as prisoners of war. Bad weather stopping Russian naval ships from docking and indeed firing guns. A maternity ward being hit and needing supplies. And the person given that list of supplies going outside, only to find a providential van driven by Norwegians with humanitarian aid, giving them everything that was on that list. And food also seems to be being multiplied. 8 kilograms of macaroni, feeding 150 people. Let us pray. Loving and gracious Father, we give thanks for these stories. Through faith, we recognize your hand behind the scenes. And we now pause to give thanks and continue to pray, along with your people throughout the world, for the situation at the forefront of all our minds. Heavenly Father, we have just been reminded in our singing of how much Christ loved us, of how much he was willing to sacrifice and endure for our sake. You set before him the need to choose between the way of self and the way of the cross, to choose between the way of the world and the way of love, and between the way of life that leads to death and the way of death that leads to life. We thank you for the choice he made, the choice to resist temptation and accept your will, to take that path of suffering and death. We thank you that you chose to suffer, not only because of us, but also for us. And you continue to suffer with us and the plight of the world you created, the worlds of which we are such poor stewards. And in the silence of our hearts, we now bring before you our confession, recognizing as we sang, ours is the transgression, yours the deadly pain. We have come with sorrow and shame, throwing ourselves once again upon your mercy. Assure us now of that loving mercy, your constant forgiveness, your continuing love, your peace. And use this time of worship to touch our hearts, to speak to our minds, to transform our lives, to refresh us, to revitalize, to bring shalom. And we unite our hearts in the family prayer, the prayer you taught us to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Okay, the strap line for the scene setter is a note to remember. We are going to be thinking about remembering and promises. So a quick question, how good is your memory? What does last week's scene setter and this week's scene setter on promises have in common? Okay, I'm struggling a bit. Okay, I'm going to jog your memory. Last scene setter, as I'm sure Isabel will remember, involved eggs. So I will repeat the question. What does last week's scene setter involving eggs and this week's scene setter on promises have in common? They are both easily broken. Ah. And it's been said that promises are like ropes of sand. How many of us, don't have to put your hands up, have had senior moments? That moment in time when you realize you've forgotten a name, what you were going to do, what you were doing last week, or indeed what the scene setter involved. You end up writing notes to yourself, don't you, in post-its. Turn off the cooker. Switch off the light. Or if you're promised a neighbor, perhaps put out their bins. The old-fashioned way of remembering, of course, was to tie a knot in a handkerchief, wasn't it? Well, I do things slightly different. I use a rope, and it's not made of sand. I also like to think, if I say I'll do something, I will do it. And that's how, in my own head, I like to see my integrity, whole, complete, without a blemish, and does not disintegrate like a rope of sand. But that's not the reality, is it? The problem with forgetting things is there's a chance you will break a promise. And if you're using a rope as a means, it would be like taking a cut and you'd break the rope. Our integrity would be compromised. And there are many times, aren't there, that you remember after the event to do something you said you would do, and it's too late. You have broken your promise, and the rope would be cut. No matter how hard we try, at some time, we will break the promise. And we try to make it right, don't we? We try to make it right. Too much coffee this morning again, for those who are watching my hands really closely. It's becoming a running joke, isn't it? Oh, gosh. Oh, it's just... I should have listened to how you make reef notes. Right. And we try to make it right. We tie a knot. So the rope... Are you listening to this for Andy Savory? The rope is not cut, and our integrity is intact. Then you will hope that that will not happen again. But it does, despite you making a knot in the rope. We still break our promises. And again, you get that knot in the pit of your stomach, don't you, when you realize you've broken the promise again. And even when we use post-its, we do forget, don't we? But God, unlike us, does not have a problem remembering. Unlike us, his integrity remains intact, without blemish. His promises are not ropes of sand. Oh, aha, it all went wrong. That should be intact. Okay, you've had 13 months of it, and that's the first time it's gone wrong. He does not need a note to remember. Okay, moving swiftly on, Breda will pick up on this theme of God remembering from our reading in Isaiah, which Margaret Murray is going to read. And Willie will edit that out.
So our reading today is from Isaiah 49, verses 13 to 26. So Israel has been in exile in Babylon for almost 40 years when the prophet comes to them with these words. Shout for joy, you heavens, rejoice, you earth, burst into song, you mountains. For the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has borne? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Now the prophet turns to Jerusalem, the ruined and pillaged city from which the exiles were taken, and speak to her as one would speak to a woman whose children had been taken from her and put into exile. Your walls are ever before me. your children hasten back, and those who laid you waste depart from you. Lift up your eyes and look around. All your children gather and come to you. As surely as I live, declares the Lord, you will wear them all as ornaments. You will put them on like a bride. Though you were ruined and made desolate, and your land laid waste, now you will be too small for your people, and those who devoured you will be far away. The children born during your bereavement will yet say in your hearing, this place is too small for us. Give us more space to live in. Then you will say in your heart, who bore me these? I was bereaved and barren. I was exiled and rejected. Who brought these up? I was left all alone. But these, where have they come from? This is what the Sovereign Lord says. See, I will beckon to the nations. I will lift up my banner to the peoples. They will bring your sons in their arms and carry your daughters on their hips. Kings will be your foster fathers and their queens your nursing mothers. They will bow down before you with their faces to the ground. They will lick the dust at your feet. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Those who hope in me will not be disappointed. Can plunder be taken from warriors or captives be rescued from the fierce? But this is what the Lord says. Yes, captives will be taken from the warriors and plunder retrieved from the fierce. I will contend with those who contend with you, and your children I will save. I will make your oppressors eat their own flesh. They will be drunk on their own blood as with wine. Then all mankind will know that I, the Lord, am your Savior, your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Amen.
Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget. I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Nowadays, it would not be difficult to imagine what it must have been like for the Israelites to be led out of Jerusalem in exile those many years ago. It was a city they loved. It was a city that they felt was girthed by the promises of God. It was the city of God, and now it was shattered and bleeding its inhabitants. We would not struggle to imagine what it would have been like to be an Israelite in those days, because we are used to scenes like these, scenes in the war in Ukraine. And if it's horrifying for us to watch it, imagine what it must be like for the people that had grown up in these cities and had grown to love these cities. These are the places they've been happy. They saw the cities in the beauty of the cities, the beauty of the buildings. And now we see the heart-rending images of mothers crossing the borders with their children while fathers stay behind to fight. We see lines of people, young and old, staggering out of burning cities. And it gets you. It really gets you. Sometimes I stagger after seeing these images. In the time of exile, that was the image that was burnt onto the retinas of the people that had been that had lived there before. It was a source of lament for them. And when they thought back of that, and when they saw their plight as slaves in Babylon and wherever they were, imagine that. It made questions about God's surface. It made them ask questions about the presence of God. Where was God? Where is God when it hurts? That's the big question. When we read this passage, in Lent, it forms the background of our thinking about the cross of Jesus. And the background question that it shapes for us is, who is God? What kind of God is God? Who would be, where was God in those times? Where is God now when the bombs rain on Ukrainian cities? Is it a God who is absent sometimes? Is he a God who forsakes his followers in times of crisis? And these are very important questions for us to ask, not only for these big crises, but also for personal crises. Because I often see people asking these questions when their lives and the way that they've always lived is called into question. But now our passage for today starts not with a lament, but it starts with a call to worship. It starts with the words, "Shout for joy, you heavens. Rejoice, you earth. Burst into song, you mountains." Why? For the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones. Now, if you imagine yourself as part of the children of God in those days, not only with the memory of Jerusalem being pillaged and burnt and destroyed, but also the memory of what had happened to people in those days. These cruel soldiers coming over the walls with their swords. Imagine what it must have been like. And now almost 40 years of slavery behind them. And these are the words that you hear. And as on the picture up on the screen, hearing these words with a background of burning, of a burning city, it just doesn't make sense. You would feel like saying, "Get real, Isaiah. Get real. How can you say words like this in times like these?" It just doesn't make sense. And their response to it is for verse 14. "The Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me." That makes more sense for them, with these memories behind them, with the situation they are in right now. "The Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me." It reminds me of Psalm 137 that we know very well from the Boney M. song that is often played on the radio, "By the Rivers of Babylon," where the poet says, the slave masters ask me, sing a song of Zion, one of these glad praise songs that you people are known to sing. But I've hung my lyre up in a tree. How can you sing the Lord's song in a strange land? He says, "Indeed, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. How can I sing?" In times like these, we have an experience of the absence of God. But is God ever absent? Can we say that? Can we ever say, "God is not here, God is absent"? I know wonderful times. I've known wonderful times where God's presence is just so clear. I have no doubt about it. But then there come times when it's hard to believe in the presence of God. Where is God when it hurts? How is God present if he is present? I've seen people who have gone through great adversity with a sense of God's presence in a very real way. They would tell you that, "I know God is there. I wouldn't have been able to survive this far if it hadn't been for God." It's incredible to see that. But I've also sat with people through crises where they ask the question, "Where is God? Where is God? Why has he forsaken me? Why is he absent?" Where people struggle to really believe that God is there. Well, is God ever really absent? The textbook answer, the Sunday school answer, of course, is no, God is never absent. How could that be? Well, how do we think about God's presence then in times like these, in crisis times? I find a very helpful way of thinking about it in a way that an Old Testament scholar, Terence Fretheim, talks about it. He talks about different intensities of God's presence. There are times in which God's presence is very intense. There are times when it's in the background, when it's not that intense. You can say, well, you get God's general presence is a word that he uses. God's general presence, as we find, for instance, in nature. God is always there. God is the one who gives us rain, who gives us sunshine. God is the one who props up all of nature. If God were to disappear out of nature, out of creation for one nanosecond, it would cease to exist. Because it only exists because God is there, protecting it, giving life to it. That's God's general presence. But we've become so accustomed to it, it's so normal to us that we don't even realize that God is there, that we forget that all of this is a sign of God's presence. It's so normal that it doesn't count for us as in any way pointing towards God's presence until we sit down and think about it and we regain our amazement about what is around us. The fact that I exist, if we pinch ourselves and think, well, what a wonder this is. God's general presence is, in a way, hidden in normality for us. On the other extreme we could get, and this is my word for it, God's open presence, where it is as if the curtains are drawn for a moment. St. Paul on the road to Damascus, hearing God's voice, being blinded by the bright light of God's presence. Moses at the burning bush. Elijah in the holy mountain. And we can carry on. The Bible is scattered with these kinds of references to God's open presence, moments of intense presence of God. But it's also something that we sometimes experience. A conversion experience is a moment when you just know it. You know that God is here. There's no doubt. Sometimes when people go through life-changing experiences, they would tell you, they would talk about it in terms of God's presence. It was so real to them. And life can never be the same after that experience of God. God's open presence. And between these two extremes, there are many other different intensities of God's presence. God guides us through our life. And then sometimes only in hindsight we realize it was God that brought this about. And we get the sense of God's presence. But between God's general presence, which is almost out of sight, and God's open presence, God is always there. Between these two extremes. And whenever we are guided to know that God is there, it always feels like a gift. So God is always present. We need never doubt that. What we do get in the Psalms of Lament and what we sometimes experience is that has the question, has God forgotten? Has God turned his back on me? Has God stopped noticing me? That is the question. And what we find in a lot of the laments is not the question, is God still here? Does he exist? That is never in doubt. What we find is that they lament the loss of the experience of God's presence. Oh, Lord, we had those times in the temple. We had those times when you were just there, when we knew that you were there, those wonderful times. And now it's gone. Now I'm struggling. And it's brought about by something like the exile. This is why they speak about God's presence the way they do. They don't say that God is absent. The Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. That's what they say. It's not like it used to be in the good old days in Jerusalem. It's not like that anymore. God has forgotten. The knots in God's rope have broken. It's just as if God is just not there for me. That's what they're expressing. And they long back for the days when things were different, when God was so real for them. But they've lost this. The terrible thing about this is what it makes me feel is that God doesn't care for me anymore. God made these promises in the past to care for me. I was baptized, and God hugged me in a certain sense and said, "You are mine." But now, what now? Why am I where I am now? And there are many modern instances, and that's, I think, what hits me when I see the pictures of the Ukraine, when I see a mother crossing the border, hugging a child, and you read in the subscript, she had three children, and two of them were killed in an explosion. This is the one she has left. When you see people carrying with them two plastic bags, what they could take of all their possessions, when they leave their country and they leave loved ones behind, you ask yourself, Lord, have you forsaken us? Have you forgotten us? That's the big question we are faced with. This brings to mind a phrase that Christ uttered on the cross, which is probably of all the phrases, everything he said, the most forlorn. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? In that moment, well, it's words from Psalm 22. In that moment, we find the most despairing and lonely moment of Christ in the cross. And when we set that next to the people fleeing Ukraine, when we set that next to our own misery at times, when we set that next to the worst that has happened in the world, we know that Christ has joined us. Where is God when it hurts? Right there in the midst of it. My God, why have you forsaken me? This is what Jesus Christ took with him on the cross. Not just our sins. Yes, he frees us from our sins. He paid the price. But he also took our loneliness and our despair and everything that people in the Ukraine are suffering now, everything that we ever suffered and that we might be suffering right now. I'm still here, Christ answers, when we ask the question, where are you, Lord? I'm here, and I'm here in your deep desolation. And I'm here also to show a way out. That's the wonderful thing about the passage we read this morning. Note that the prophet doesn't answer the people's lament. It's almost as if it's brushed aside. Not really. It is a response to it. But the lament doesn't hold. God denies the possibility that it might be true that he has forsaken them. We find the wonderful images that the prophet gives us. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Well, he says, it is unlikely, but it might be possible. We know of terrible instances where this has actually happened. But he carries on, though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you in the palms of my hands. And when God opens his hands, I see my name. God does not forget us. God remembers us. He comes down into the darkest places where we may find ourselves, and he's there for us. Can a mother forget her baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. God remembers. And this is why the cross is such a powerful sign of hope, because it tells us exactly that. God has not forgotten us. God remembers us, and God joins us where we are in the moment when we ask this anguished question. And now the poet, Isaiah, was a tremendous poet. He does something very poetic and very powerful. He turns to Jerusalem, the city in flames, the ruined city, and he speaks to the city as one would speak to a grieving mother whose children have been taken from her. And he tells her, your children will be brought back from wherever they are. And they will come back. They will be so many that your home will overflow. It will be too small to house them all. And with that, he brings into memory the great promise of God to Abram, where he said, your children will be like the stars in the heaven and the sands of the sea. The barrenness and the destruction of Jerusalem, like the Ukraine cities in the news, were like a metaphor of the barrenness of Israel. But now your children will return. And they will return as honored people. They will be the citizens of the great cities of the east. They will come back as foster children of the kings and queens. They will come back as people to whom others bow down. Do we need to hear a message like that? Yes, we do. We need to hear this. We need to hear a message of deliverance. Noah heard that God remembered him. God remembers Noah, and he sends the wind to dry the sea, the great waters. The people in exile heard the word from Isaiah. God remembers. And then the Persians came and overcame the Babylonians, who looked invincible. And they were set free to go back to Jerusalem and to rebuild it. God remembers you, the Ukrainians, in their cities being bombed and shot at. He remembers even the Russian soldiers who are not part of this war because of choice. God remembers us in our darkest moments. And that, friends, brothers and sisters, that is gospel. That is the good news. God remembers. I'm always struck by the fact that the risen Christ, the risen and glorified Christ, still wears the scars of the cross. When he accosted Thomas, he held out his hands and said, look, Thomas, look at my side where the sword pierced me. Look at my feet. Look at my hands. In Revelation 5, when the glorified Christ, who sets the history, salvation history of God into motion, when he's called forth, we see a lamb with the slaughter marks, the lamb who was slaughtered. And this is my prayer for each of you. May God send his relief to you whenever you need it. May God send his relief and his compassion and make it known to everyone in these days who is suffering. And if he sends us through us, through a small bit of gift aid, through a word of compassion, through just being with somebody who's suffering, may that be blessed by God and make everyone aware God is with you. God remembers. Amen. Father God, we cling to you in these uncertain times. We thank you for reminding us once again that you remember us, that you hold us in your heart. As we are reminded again of your death on the cross, Lord Jesus, we know this is true. We know that your great compassion for us brought you there to the cross to share our pain and sorrow. Fill us with wonder at this, O Holy Spirit, and bring us to our feet to serve you with all that we have, all that we are. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn of dedication is CH4402, Take Up Your Cross, the Savior said, and after that the offering will be brought forward for dedication.
Thank you.
us pray. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you that we can always trust in you. You are an abundant God, and out of your great mercy, you've given us so much. We give you this offering today. With it, we worship you and give you our whole selves. Please now take it and use it for your kingdom and your glory. Extend and multiply its reach and influence. We pray. Amen. Donna will now lead us in our prayers for the future and intercession.
I'm not as tall as Meg. Bear with me, folks. I'm a bit hoarse today. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for the opportunity of worship, for the freedom to be amongst your family, meeting together in your house and in the warmth of your embrace. Thank you that in worship we can put aside the uncertainties of the world and rest upon the certainties of the kingdom, for your promises are not changeable as those of politicians might be. Lord, we pray for your church during this season of Lent. We pray that all of us who believe in you will be strengthened to remain faithful to your calling, to work for understanding and unity where we have created division, and to show your love and compassion to each other and to all your children. Lord, we pray for the countless numbers of your children who suffer in this world because of violence, oppression, and injustice. We think especially of the people of Ukraine, the people who have fled the country, and those who remain. And we give thanks not only for the generosity of the people of Poland and surrounding countries, but throughout the world, who gave and continue to give homes, essential clothing, money, etc. We give thanks for our brothers and sisters in the Reformed Church in Hungary who are supporting congregations in the Ukraine. We pray for all who suffer because of flood or drought, lack of food, clean water, or medical help and supplies. We pray for ourselves that we may learn to see more clearly the needs of your children and to respond to those needs, for they are our brothers and sisters. Lord, we pray for our own communities and churches. We thank you for our families and friends, and pray especially for those in particular need today. We think of the family of the late Fiona Fett and pray that your presence, that your peace and love will surround them, bringing them comfort and strength. We thank you for all doctors, nurses, and all health service workers who are still battling to control the pandemic. We give thanks for Breda and Francie, for Breda's continued progress, and we ask that you will be with them on their journey to South Africa next week, where they will spend time with their family. Lord, we thank you for those who have travelled before us on the way to the cross and are now at peace in your eternal presence. Help us to live in the assurance of your promise to us that the road of faith will lead into your kingdom. All these things we ask in your name. Amen.
Thank you, Donna. Our closing hymn is CH 4562, "Through the love of God, our Saviour, all will be well." go now remembering that you are remembered by God. Go with God's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious toward you. The Lord lift his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.